was talking about.
Yeah?
Yeah, about paydays and this and that, you know.
Yeah. We just had Tory Hunter stop by and visit with Wayne, and, you know, a longtime friend. And I'm sure that you have some good stories to tell about Tory.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've been knowing Tory since the first day he signed the contract. That was back in 1993 or two or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a paycheck. He only made, like, I'd say $140 in child support, and, you know, not child support, but insurance. And he, like you said, you had to pay $100 a month just for life. Well, everybody's got to have insurance. But like you say, we didn't pay much money in the minor leagues. You know, like you say, $100 got paid for insurance. You may make $300 a month. Plus, when they get to A ball, now this is in rookie ball, we'll be putting up at hotels. And then I get to the point where once you get to A ball or double A, you got to get an apartment, which back in the mid 95s, you get an apartment for $500 if you're lucky. You know, if you're lucky, it's kind of hard to pay $5 or $500 a month when you only make $600 a month or something like that. You got to eat and, you know, stuff like that.
For sure.
So time has changed. I know in 30 years, you get up into the millions or half $1 million and you can afford it. But like I say, nothing against charity. I love charity. But, you know, they come in the clubhouse, especially in Minnesota, not in the minor leagues, and say, well, we got something going on. Can you donate something? And, now, these days now, you don't throw out a $100 bill or a $50 bill. That you got to reach for a $1,000 bill. I mean, nothing against that, but, you know, they know in the front office what they make. And you're not supposed to be a cheapskate. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But they always say when this and that, you'd like to fork over maybe $1,000 or $2,000. Like Joe Mauer, nothing against him. If he's got it, he might chunk $3,000, $4,000, you know.
Yeah,
but that's in 2015, 16, 17. But when you're in the minor leagues, you can't chunk it. They don't even make that in the minor leagues. I mean, I know they don't do it, but sometimes if they're going to Mobile or Chattanooga, they may have something going on, church thing, and they say, can y'all contribute? Well, in the minor leagues, you might put out a $50 bill. It's big for them, but, you know, it's not a $50 bill in Minnesota's like a nickel and dime. So, you know, it's that way. That's how much it's changed. I mean, in baseball.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And, so what other stories do you want to share with us today?
Oh, Charlotte. Yeah, Charlotte, like I say, I lose my mind. No, I don't lose my mind. I've got so much stories between the big league. Once I got to the big leagues, you know, you don't say much. But I still use the same thing. The guys know me 10 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like Molitor and Carew. You give Carew a whole bunch of static. I'm in the Hall of Fame, and how come you don't give me that state? Well, like I said, I've been knowing Carew for 50 years. Once I get to be with you for 50 years, I can jump on you like I did Rodney.
Yep.
And Rodney, when he comes in the clubhouse, the first thing is talk about blood, you know, like I say, when I had him or have stories about him,
mm-hmm.
we heard you was afraid of blood. And I said, yes, and I'll be the first one to admit, this captain dynamite blew himself up. He didn't hurt himself.
Yeah.
It was fake bomb. And he keeps bringing that one subject about for 50 years.
Yeah. Yes, but they're good stories, and so they're fun to share.
Well, like I say, about the minor league, we had this guy named Larry Corrigan, who's supposed to be smart, but he's the dumbest guy in the world. But I'd say something to players about their hair or how they hit or how they pitch, and he'll say, Wayne, they won't sign, you know, they won't sign unless you get off their back. I said, it's just a joke. And the more, when he walks away, maybe one or two days, the guys will come up, the same guys I get on about their hitting or pitching or their hairstyle or this and that. They said, we like them stories. Hell, you can get on me about my hair or how I pitch. I know I'm pitching bad, but the stupid field coordinator don't know nothing about that. He don't know what I say and what I don't say, you know.
Yeah.
They might hear from other ball players saying, hey, you hear Wayne pick on this guy, Wayne picked on that guy. I do that because this is not a concentration camp where so many people can make it, so many people can't make it. But when I get home, I get letters all the time, not all the time, but in the last 5 or 6 years, from fathers says, hey, I'm raising kids up good, like you raised me. And they behave. They don't go out and smoking dope or, you know, doing this and doing that. They know when it's time to come home at 8 o'clock at night, they come home without going out partying, getting drunk at the age of 14 or 15. But now they do. You know, not the plow players, the regular families, you know, they run away.
Yeah.
And like I say, in Charlotte, we go to Evansville, Indiana one time. Now, that's when we could have mix, you know, like that. And I accidentally put two guys, you know, in their lockers, one, two, you know, and they just happened to be three black guys. Nothing wrong there. Oh, the greatest guys in the world. But I didn't. They said, how come you got me dressing to him and dressing next to him? I said, I just throw the bags that wherever they land, and we just hang up stuff. They knew it, and they liked to pick on me like I picked on them as, you know, like a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, I was raised up in especially the 60s when I got to Charlotte and making road trips. And basically all of them was down south, you know, Nashville, Tennessee, Knoxville, Tennessee, Memphis, Huntsville, Alabama, Montgomery, Alabama, Birmingham, Macon, Georgia, you know, where things was different in them days. And I had a couple of ball players who lived in California, which it's okay. That's can't be that good. I'll ask them, I want a room with this guy, Luke Vassar or somebody. Or Luke might say, I want a room with some white guy. I said, I like you. I wouldn't mind. But we're in Birmingham, Alabama, where they're having all these riots and stuff. And I don't want to see you get hurt. I don't want to see the public in a hotel get bombed away, you know, something real bad. So you're living with some other, them 3 days, you can stay with this couple that lives in Birmingham or Memphis, which is, yeah, they take care of you. You know, you come home at nighttime, they got a regular meal, and we're eating crystals. You know, you're getting fried chicken, and I said, it's nice. It's not nice, we had to put you there, but it ain't just some regular people. You know, we make sure they're nice people. And when you get home at nighttime, I said, what'd you eat tonight? I had some fried chicken. What'd you have? Crystal? How come? Because that's the only place open. At least when you get home after the ball game, you're going to have something to eat. It might not be the best you want to, but after you eat, you'll say, hey, can we stay there the whole week? I said, we're only here 3 days. But you know how it is.
And yep.
I just was raised up in them that time. Maybe I shouldn't have been raised up in that time, but it is what it is.
Yep. That's for sure.
And we stop at truck stops, and they go in the back or something like that to get, you know, get the regular food and whatever they want at these truck stops. You can't come in here. But these guys don't understand. If you go to any Major League club, they don't know what we went through in the 60s and 70s and the late 50s, you know.
Yep.
And you try to explain to people, but they don't understand. They think that they live in 2000 or 1990. A regular fan, they don't know that what happened in the 50s or 60s, that they had to stay at a different hotel. Not that they want to, it's they got no choice.
Well, when the Twins in the early 60s, when they first started out in spring training, they stayed
in different
hotels.
Yeah, me and Tony talked that a lot of time. I mean, we had to do that when I first joined the club. We had to stay in Fernandina Beach. I don't know if that's outside Jacksonville. And we was at one hotels or two or three hotels. We scattered them out. And the blacks had to stay somewhere. Not that they want to, but I bet you Coca-Cola, and nothing against nobody, they ate better than we did. We used to go to a hotel in Fernandina Beach, and nothing against us. I said, what we got? We got this, but you might not like it. And I looked at it and said, you're right. I don't like it. But it's so good. I mean, stuff like that.
So tell me about your relationship with Terry Ryan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we go way back to 1970. First, he got signed out of high school or college. I think it's basically high school. He lived in Janesville, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the guy that's the head of the Republican Party is his cousin. I told him about 3 or 4 years when the guy later said, "Hey, you might be in the White House. Your uncle, your cousin's." Well, he don't know who I am. You know, he's a big shot until he's just a, pitcher them days. And like I say, when he first signed, I didn't know him, the other 150 I had. And we had a whirlpool. Every time he's supposed to pitch, Wayne, my back's sore, my arm's sore, my leg's sore, I need to get in the whirlpool. I never seen him pitch. But when he was general manager, and we had these winter league meetings, you know, like they have in Orlando and Nashville, you know, the regular ones were play. Every time he runs, you know, a manager or a coach or scout, he always said, "This is my trainer." He had me in Melbourne all them years. And I didn't want to tell people that he was just a whirlpool patient. But, you know, if he wants to blow me up as his trainer, that's more power to him. And, I mean, he didn't get no higher than A-ball. I mean, of course, in the 70s, if you don't pitch, I mean, he's probably pitched once the season started. But what a man, I never seen him pitch. I mean, he was always with an A-ball team. I was in Double-A or something like that. I mean, I like him. I mean, even in, I've had him in spring training about 3 or 4 years, you know.
Yeah.
He's joined this team, I go somewhere else. But we got to know everything. And in 2001 or 2002, that's when I lost my eyesight. But I always come up to Minnesota in September, you know, for a season, make one road trip or something. So I'm walking back to the hotel from Cleveland. He turned around with me out of clear blue sky. I thought something was wrong. It was raining. He turned up to me, says, "You know, you belong up here in the big leagues. When can you get your suitcase ready up here?" "Well, my clothes is in Fort Myers." Yeah, we was there. No, we weren't. Where was we at? This was like 80. No, this is in the 90s when I retired, 95 or 6. And I said, "Well, I got my clothes. I got enough for a week." He said, "Have somebody ship you some clothes. You're here for the rest of the season." And then from then on, I didn't go. Once I retired, I stayed with him from 2003. I got to go back 2002 to make my 50th anniversary in minor league baseball, you know, from 52 to here. And from then on, I was up here for the last 13, 14 years. We didn't get the World Series, but a couple of times we got in the playoffs, which was still good. I think we went to 5 straight playoffs or something like that. Yeah. And we broke a record.
They had some good years there.
Yeah, and then when we had one bad year, they wanted to get rid of Terry, which they did. Wanted to get rid of Gordy, which they did. I mean, nothing against these guys, but they're getting rid of guys that I'm not saying they should be replaced, but when you got a trainer like Lanny, like I mentioned, Lanny Tucker, he's been with us 26 years. We're going different directions. I don't know what difference. I'm a high school kid, not a guy. I don't know what different directions mean, you know. If you're a hitter, I can see that, but not a trainer. A trainer can only do so much unless you have Billy Graham or something like that.
Strange things happen.
I knew I'd jump off for stuff, but then, when you asked me a question, you know, about Terry and them, I know. And I had Jim Rance. I knew George Brophy. Heard since you lived, you're 70 and must have knew about him, you know, 30 years ago.
Yep.
He might can tell you, now he's better than me. He can tell you this guy, like Kirby Puckett, he could tell you 2 days after we got him that he could be in the big league. You couldn't tell me that because I'm used to the 180 guys. If you get a double here and a triple here in spring training, don't mean crap. But, I've had a lot of guys say, "Did you know that Rod Carew is going to be in the big leagues and stuff like that?" I can't judge these ball players by spring training, you know.
And yeah, it's hard. You know, you've got some players that perform really well in spring training, and then when they make the cut and go north, then they can't hit or they can't pitch, and vice versa. Sometimes you get players that underperform in spring training and then they get called up from the minors down the line and they're good players.
It's right now, when you go through 40 pitchers in 1 year, not because they're good, bad, or ugly, is when them guys get sent down to AAA, you know, Big Leagues AAA, they pitch bad up here. I won't say bad, but just can't do the job. They go to AAA Rochester. Now, we tell them, their manager, now, this guy can't pitch good. Show them how to pitch and blah, blah, blah. Now, these guys pitch two or three games. Well, these guys are ready. They come back and still doing the same thing.
Yep.
And they get sent back and pitch two or three games. And it comes to the point where you went through 40 pitchers, not at all, because it's back and forth, back and forth. It comes to 40 pitchers. And they don't understand. None of our guys, Terry didn't understand, and this new guy don't understand. They will understand. But when you go down to AAA from big leagues after pitching maybe a year like Gibson, is you can't improve on two or three or four games, right? It's going to take you, unless you're really in trouble and pitch a half, two games, okay. But you can't really learn to you've been up there at least a month, or maybe 6 weeks. Maybe you might not never learn. But when you pitch one game or two games and you call up the front office, hey, this guy's ready. And ain't nobody in this world, not even God, can tell you can pitch again in the big, same way we're hitting. We send them down, they're hitting 200, and they go down and get five for five, three home runs. This guy's ready. Well, you're killing yourself because nobody can improve that long. I mean, I got guys coming back to the big leagues from spring training hitting 210 because they got, oh, this guy get hit good in spring training. That don't mean anything because some of the guys you're pitching is pitching double-A ball. You know, you're pitching a big leaguer and he can't hit or he can't hit. And if you can't hit a double-A pitch or A-ball pitch, we do that in spring training. We bring down 38 for spring training. You can only carry 12, right? That leaves you 26. Out of them 26, about 10 guys got experience. Most of them's got a contract you signed first year, guy never pitched. You're getting put now on the roster, but you got to come to spring training with the big team.
Mm-hmm.
And the manager, they only know their names. They don't know how they pitch or if they're right-handed or left-handed or if they hit right-handed or left-handed. And they accidentally do great. This guy pitches one or two innings, don't get nobody out, or get everybody out. Oh, this guy's ready for the big leagues. Once you get out of the plane, then we lose 103 games. Are you sure? I asked Terry. He started that streak. I did tell Terry. I said, did y'all catch the wrong plane when y'all left Fort Myers? Y'all left Fort Myers, everybody was hitting, pitching. We was either first or second, you know, with the Red Sox with Grapefruit League, and they did good. Did y'all get on the Boston Red Sox plane instead of the Minnesota Twins plane? Because we opened the season in Baltimore, I think it was. We lost six games in a row, came back, lost six. I think we lost like 11 straight games.
Something like
before
that.
Before we decided to win one game. I keep saying around the clubhouse, I go back to my old style. Are you sure this is the same team y'all left spring? You sure y'all didn't get on the wrong plane, thinking y'all Red Sox and the Red Sox thinking you're Twins? Because they didn't actually blow up the bubble either. I think they lost a few games. I think our plane's on the, I think we got the Red Sox plane, and we still didn't do anything.
Yep.
These guys, not getting on them, but I always get along with these guys. And I still do a few things in the big leagues, and I'll say something, you know, goofy saying. If I tell the catcher, like Castro, our catcher, I say, if I say anything, don't pay attention. Well, you can get on me, because hell, I know when I'm going bad, so if you say, ain't your fault, you know, and they'll say, keep doing it. And like I said, we got a catch, second string catcher. He got put on waivers, but he might come back if he might be good. And I always talk to him every day. He'd go by and say, how you doing? Well, how did I do last night, Wayne? You went 0 for 4. I know you're going to say, you're bad and stuff. And the funny thing, you might have been still here. We get blown away like 10-0 or 9-0 in ninth. And so instead of wasting a pitcher, he used to come in and be the ninth inning pitcher. He gets him out. So every time he gets him out, I said, hey, you should have been a pitcher. Hey, you might be in there tomorrow night, and stuff like that. And even the last day of the season before they went to New York, he said, Wayne, I may have a chance to pitch and win in the game in New York. I said, yeah, the way we play against the Yankees, you might get two innings. Yeah, we just kid like that.
Yeah. Do you remember when Sal Butera was with the Twins?
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, when his kid got signed, I think originally by us, mm-hmm. and I told Drew, can you hit better than your dad? Oh, yeah. And so I said, Sal, well, you only hit about 240. And he said he could out-hit you. He says, no, I'm a better hitter. Every time I see Sal, you know, I said, what are you hitting? What are you doing now? He said, sometimes I'm a best one. Remember Ray Smith?
Yep.
Okay, now it's cut down day. This was spring training day coming. The winner was coming here and the other was going big league. I went to get a paper. I said, I couldn't buy a paper. Sal, you was written on everything. You're in there. I said, I couldn't even get a paper. You made headlines by making the second string catcher.
Ray Smith, well, yeah, he's...
right now he's in Elizabeth, is one of the coaches and manager. Like that. He's been up there. He's been up there at least close to, let's see, I was in Reno in 1974.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's been the organization. He's still with us unless he gets fired. You know, they want to get it.
He's been there forever.
Yeah, that's what I say.
He's got a good record.
I always thought he was going to be the next big league manager. You know, not then, but if you work yourself up, you know, they've had about, what, six managers since 84 or 74. And I thought he was going to get a shot, but it didn't work out that way.
Did he want to move up? I mean, he's been Elizabethan forever, so it's almost like he doesn't want to leave.
Well, at that time, he was doing some work with the college, you know, in Elizabeth. So as long as he, like in the wintertime, or, you know, he manages in June, July, and August, so he's up there 8 months out of the year. So he bought him a house, and then he managed to get his daughter a scholarship, and so she did her college career and got it out, and didn't cost him anything because he was, which I guess it's like $20,000 a year. I don't know how much it is to go to school, but at least he didn't have to pay one red cent. So, and if you look at that thing, Fred Waters, that was Burt Blylevin, when he got here in 69, he went to Elizabethan, and the manager was a guy named Fred Waters, and I had him back in 1952. Matter of fact, he gave me my first baseball glove because he lived in it, and the Rollins company sent him a right-handed glove. So he'd say, you want a glove, kid? I said, yeah. So he gave me his first glove. I knew Freddie almost the day he died.
Wow. Pretty nice.
Yeah, Fred was one of the nicest guys you could meet.
Well, let's see.
He couldn't pitch here. I mean, not that he couldn't. Time has changed, you know.
Yeah.
You have a pitcher ready to go nine innings. You're in there for nine innings. And nowadays you go five and do this, you know. Imagine say, Freddie, is he ready? Well, he's only going to pitch 100 pitches. In them days, we'd have a pitch count, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the pitch count's a strange thing.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't like it, and a lot of people swear by it, but.
Yeah. You can only have so many starting pitchers.
Yeah. Yep. Well, let's see, what other kind of ball players you want to talk about?
I remember one, Valencia. Remember a guy that played with us about 2 or 3 years ago? Third baseman named Valencia.
Danny Valencia?
Yes, yeah. I should. He said this about 3 years ago. I was doing my work, putting wet stuff out, and you know, putting it in the locker. He said, what will it take for you not to come past my lock and come in. That's right. When you come in, you had to come in this door right here. yeah, right in here. No, Big League, Minnesota. It's like this. I said, you don't want me to come by the clubhouse to get the, you know, take the wet stuff in? No. I said, for you to go to AAA, and no sooner did I get home, I turned TV on, Bert says, Valencia just got sent to AAA. I said, that was the quickest I ever got sent by. And remember
Trevor Plouffe?
Plouffe. He said, we were talking about 2 years ago. I said, you know something? Well, I knew you don't like this guy. I hated him too because every time I'm in AAA in spring training, he's like, you want my job? And I told him, I'm going to get you a job. He got the, when Valencia went down AAA, he came up and took his job at third base. So, but when I'm in a bad mood, I won't talk to a person. Not because of the guys, but when you got like Valencia, who nobody liked,
right.
I couldn't stand him. And I never said hardly a word other than hello, that's about it. But I don't care long with him because he was a piece of shit.
Yeah,
I
mean, he was.
He went to about, kind of six, about 10 clubs.
He what?
He went to about 10 clubs. Nobody wanted him more than a year.
He went to Oakland and Seattle and
Baltimore. We tried to get him in Boston. I think we traded him to Boston for some rookie guy. And then he only lasted about 2 months there, and then he went to Baltimore and didn't last very long. Somebody said he didn't last for 1 week because he other guy, and he went to Toronto too.
Okay.
And he's just what it is.
What?
Some people are just made for the clubhouse and some ain't.
It seems like most of the Twins players have been pretty good in the clubhouse.
We never had no bad incidents, I mean, other than that one with Torrey and Morneau, but that was, it was nothing to it. I mean, it might have been something to it, but it wasn't. It was, don't do this, and one hits with the other one, the other one's patched it up and went direction. I mean, it wasn't, no, if we'd let the press in, it might have made a big issue, but, you know, we told the press, we always tell the press when they can come in, when they can't come in, and it's happening. It only lasts about a minute.
One of my favorite players over the years was Gary Gaetti.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I had him in. The funny thing about it, and what was it, 81, 82, when almost had him and Laudner and a couple of Fowler.
Herbeck.
Yeah. I had Herbie and A-Ball, but not, he was with Vasey. Then he went straight to, him and Puck went straight to Big Leagues, other than stopping out. They stopped off in that AAA team for a month or so, up in Toledo, I think it was. And he comes in, you know, like I said, when we, I think he's in the local Hall of Fame, the way we call this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have him in Minnesota. Right?
Yeah, Gaetti, I liked him because he was a good fielder, he's a good third baseman, and he could hit home runs. He wasn't a high average hitter, but I liked him. And him and Herbeck were buddies there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Up until, I think, Gaetti kind of got turned to religion a lot more.
That's what I say. And like I say, they was good. Most of the, like I said, most of the guys, 87 World Series and 91 World Series or two, I had 90% of them, you know, in the clubhouse, either in AA or spring training.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I didn't help them get there, but or get out of there, whatever it was, but at least I had them, you know. If I say something to somebody, oh, you didn't know Guy Eddie, or you didn't know her, but I just say, you're full of bull. And I had Rick Dempsey. Remember Rick Dempsey?
I do.
I had him, and the funny thing about it, his wife, instructionally, must have been, let's see, must be around 73 or 74, right after Kennedy got assassinated. His wife used to go out and bathe, you know, we was at this ballpark by a lake, and so she used to lay out, and we had batting practice, and nobody would want to chase the balls until she sunbathed. And then somebody said, I'll go get the ball. I said, you didn't, for the first 20 days, not until Joni shut up. And so I told Dempsey, I said, Rick, tell Joni, stay away, because all the ball players, all they did was want to go see your wife. And so at the end of the season, they took me, about four or five guys grabbed me and threw me in the pond right when she was sunbathing.
Yeah, Rick Dempsey started out here, and then they traded him to, what, Baltimore, I think, or something like that?
Well, I know he finished up in Baltimore. Did he go to the Dodgers?
He was there, too. Oh, he had a long career, yeah. But, you know, not much with Minnesota.
No, last time he could play with her. Nowadays, guy gets the concussions out for a week. I don't know why they think they got concussions. I told AJ, you got hit in the head. Did you have a concussion? No, I never. Only game I ever missed was about two or three years ago. He broke your hand or finger. He only missed 2 weeks. I said, that would have been, if you was with us, you'd be out for the season, or at least halfway.
Yeah. What about a couple guys that come to mind from 87 but didn't, you know, the Twins acquired them in trades were Joe Niekro and Don Baylor.
Well, I knew Baylor after he either released him. He did a little bit for the minor leagues. That's where I met him, was in Orlando.
Okay.
He came in to help me, you know, do some batting, because that's where I met him. And
I'd say.
I followed his career until the time he died. I knew Joe Nathan because he bought me my first, well, not Buck bought me much shoes, but Joe. He bought me a pair, and he put something on the company put something on the back that was, you know, I didn't appreciate, you know. Mm-hmm. I loved it, but everybody kept yelling this, you know, we have jokes in the clubhouse, but.
Sure.
But, and then my roommate, she's about 40, she says, what happened to them shoes that Joe Nathan gave you that made, I made laugh on it. I said, if you don't know what these are, you don't know what's going on. It said bad things. And he had it written by Dad. And so I finally wound up, I wore them out, so I had to throw them away.
What about Chuck Knobloch? What kind of a guy was he?
I had him in the minor leagues, but first time I had his daddy in 1955. Yeah, he played for Shreveport, and I got to know him. And then when he got out of the game, I remember the name when Chuck signed. I said, I think I know your daddy. And when he came in, I said, did you play for Shreveport in 55? Yeah, I know you. We beat you. That's when we had their manager. And then next year, the manager came to us, be the manager, said, well, we beat you the first time, so you decided to come back and manage our team. And we won the championship. So you Mel McGay. Mel McGay was the name. Mm. And so I knew Chuck, and he always treated me good. And we never had no, but when it came to Twins, somebody said he turned into a weirdo or something. I mean, he got in jail with beating up his wife or something.
Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah.
It sounded like he wanted more money, and he said he was unhappy that the Twins weren't signing better players. And
yeah, but when he went to New York, he probably wished he'd stay, because he makes one mistake and the newspapers just, he didn't have a chance.
They rip you there.
Yeah.
And then he had started having trouble throwing the first base.
That's what it was. Some either third wild or something like that. That's when the press started chewing him up, and he never did come out of it.
No, he never did.
And TK called him. I'm trying to think. 90, I was still in Orlando. It must have been 1988 or something like that. Before he got so.
Well, TK got the job, right at the end of the '86 season.
Okay, maybe it was '87 when I.
And then '87, he took him to the World Series.
And did Chuck make the World Series, or did he get traded before then?
No, he was on one of the World Series teams. Yeah.
TK said, and he always talks to me about different ball players, said, yeah, he's ready to come, you know, from AA. And he did for a year or two, and I don't know, he went Berserk or something, in other words, he couldn't get along the players. And We never had no trouble. Maybe we didn't then, but he wanted to be by himself. I know he didn't get religion, so it could be drugs or something like that.
Man, you know? Who knows? Who knows?